Today, I am joined by the one and only, the legendary Pete Bissonnette, the longtime president and founder of Learning Strategies. Pete, my man, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Nathan, great to be here. Thank you.
I heard about Learning Strategies probably the first time I think I heard about your company was maybe 10 years ago in Santa Fe by some good friends of mine who were just talking very highly of Learning Strategies. I didn't really know what it was. And then what was funny is I had another friend that then I sat down with for lunch, and he said he used to be a part of Learning Strategies as well. And I was just like, man, this Learning Strategies keeps coming up. And then Tom, an acquaintance of ours, McCarthy, actually, then he said, oh my gosh, Pete is amazing. He's president of Learning Strategies. We got to have him a part of the Holistic Leadership Council. And then I met you, and I was like, what an incredible person who's done so much with Learning Strategies. I mean, literally reaching millions of people with personal development and self-help and spiritual programs, for what, over 20 years at this point, I think.
Over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
Yeah, founded in 1981.
And I meet you, and I wouldn't know anything about it. I mean, you're so humble, so down to earth, and you've been transforming millions of people's lives. It's just incredible. So, first time having you on the podcast. I'm excited to even get to know you even better and share what you're doing with
Yeah.
our community.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm game to talk about anything, so I'm so glad to be here with you.
All right, so tell me all about your childhood. Let's start there.
Okay, well, okay, well.
I was testing you. I was testing you to see if you're really game.
Well, let me tell you about my childhood.
Okay.
Because when I was 4 years old, I mapped out my whole life to my mom.
Really?
Yep, she's doing dishes in the kitchen. And I come into the kitchen with my notebook, which was just a piece of cardboard folded in half. We came from a very non-well-to-do family. And I said, Mom, when I graduate from college, and she just turned around and looked at me, what did I hear about college? I was 4 years old at the time. And she says, I'm going to use computers. Now, this was 1959, right?
Wow.
And computers. And I said, I'm going to put on parades and carnivals. And then when I turn 30, I'm going to start working with the human mind. Well, I graduated from college. I got an Apple II computer. It was serial number 14,000. So it's one of the first ones. And I used it to put on golf tournaments, tennis tournaments, professional rodeos, all that kind of stuff through my 20s. And then when I turned 30, I met Paul Sheely, who's my partner with Learning Strategies for Learning Strategies. So it was just as I had told mom back then. What's also interesting is that I had a huge sandbox. My dad just made me a great sandbox for all my Tootsie toys and Tonka trucks and all that kind of stuff. And all the neighborhood kids wanted to play in it. Well, I had a rule. If we're going to play in the sandbox, we have to first play publisher. And what mom would set up TV trays in the living room. I had a little vault, toy vault, with the dial on it. And the door would open up and the bell would ring. And we would sit there for, oh, not much more than a half an hour with magazines. And we had our pens and we circled every dot in the magazine. So, the I's, the J's, the periods, the colons, because that's what publishers did. And so even then, I knew that I'd be in the publishing business.
And that's what
Isn't that interesting?
Learning Strategies has been a publishing company for 40 plus years, right? I mean, even you've done a lot of print stuff over there. I know you do a lot of online stuff. You guys have a new app and things like that, but you've been basically print publishing for a long time too. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, print
CDs.
publishing, our biggest has been audio. So cassette tapes to CDs to digital, now to the app. So one of the things that we always did when we wanted to create the programs is that we created our programs had to be experiential and not just somebody talking where you can learn about something. And the other thing that we had to do, because the only way to disseminate back in those days was cassette tape, and you could have 34 minutes on one side of a cassette tape, our sessions needed to be 34 minutes or less, which meant we had to highly script everything, which meant we weren't able to, today you can do a session and you can ramble on and on. And you don't just have a half an hour for your session. You could do an hour, hour and a half, it doesn't matter. But back then we had to do 34 minutes or less. So we had to be really concise and very careful about what it is that we're putting on the cassette tapes so that we could, so that the client can listen to it and get the full benefit from it without needing anything further. So then when we went to CDs and you could get up over just 70 some minutes, it kind of changed everything from there too. But we were, you know, we came from the thing where when we had a program, we spent years developing it before we would release it because it had to be just right. And it was so expensive to go into the studios and do the mastering and all that in those days. So that was how we began.
Yeah, now you can just like record to your phone, upload. You could hire someone for like $20 to edit it for you. And then boom, you got an MP3 for iTunes or wherever you want to send it, right? It's like, it's so crazy. I remember, you know, I used to have a Walkman when I was a kid. So, you know, I remember the cassette tapes really well. And I'd walk around listening to them and stuff like that, listening to things on tape. And yeah, it was like 34 minutes, flip it over, 34 minutes, the tape's done, you know? Nowadays, it's like, I remember when I got my first iPod, and then it was like I had like 30,000 songs on there or something. I was like, this is crazy. And I want to go back to what you, I got to go back to this, the Apple II computer.
Yeah.
So this was it, huh? This was the Apple II. I wasn't around for that one.
Yeah, that's the Apple II. And I had to have a TV. It was a 19-inch black and white TV set that I used as a monitor.
What year was it made? 77?
See, I got it in 1978.
Okay.
And at the time, you can see on the left there, the two little disk drives underneath. At the time, they didn't even have disk drives. And I got the number two disk drive sent to the state of Minnesota. Number one was my friend, David, who owned the Top Tech store that actually brought Apple first into Minnesota. And so I got the disk drive, you know, one of those 3¼-inch floppy disks, whatever size it were.
Yep, yep.
112K of memory on a floppy disk. And now you type your name and it's 112K.
Right. Now it's like, we're talking terabytes. I have like a terabyte drives, backup drives for the video files, right? We're doing 4K videos that are like gigabyte videos. It's crazy. And this was, and what could you do on this? I mean, there was typing. You could do software programming on this one, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's what I did. I did the, like for the golf tournaments, I did the programming for the database for the all of our golfers. Then also it was to raise money. So we kept track of all the pledges and everything on it. And then with Learning Strategies, that's what we used to build the database for Learning Strategies. And on that same Apple, and it's, we had a stack of disks like this to do everything and worked just fine. And then we ended up building, we got Macs, so we ended up building a database using 4D, which is started off as a French company. And that's how we built our database in 1988. We're still using it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's now it's a very robust and incredible machine and database for handling everything that we need. But we started building because they didn't have off-the-shelf programs back in those days.
Right.
We had to build it. And then when the off-the-shelf programs came along, our database was better than what the off-the-shelf programs were. So we just kept using it and using it. We tried to move away from it, but we can't because it is so robust.
Oh, wow. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That you created something in 1988 that's you're still using today. That's pretty unheard of.
Most
cars that are from 1988 aren't even running today, you know? So yeah. I want to go into the esoteric spiritual side of your mind of this four-year-old. How do you perceive your four-year-old self knew what the rest of your life was going to be like in your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s? Like, how do you think your four-year-old self was able to know that?
You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Belgianski formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Belgianski's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Belgianski has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order four products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at maisonbeljanski.com. That's MAISONBELJANSKI, maisonbeljanski.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off. Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PEMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer.
I don't know, other than I had a lot of invisible friends and they were ghosts. And to when I'm telling my friends about them, nobody believed them. So I had to make a ghost machine. So I took a 2x4, which was about maybe this long. And then I found some stuff in my dad's workshop in the garage and nailed it to it. I screwed it to it. So it looked like it was a machine, you know, a twirly thing and a spring or whatever. And that was a ghost machine. So I could talk to my ghosts and we could play with the kids. So I had a connection at that time to the other world. And that could have been how it was coming to me. But I know that when I had my notebook, I was really serious. And I don't know what I had written in my notebook, but I remember looking down to it. So I imagine it had something to do with that.
Now, do you think it was a premonition of kind of your destiny, your karma in this life, or do you think you could have created it for yourself through some kind of, I mean, how's a four-year-old even know about publishing and all these things anyway, right? That's the first question. But let's say you did, you watched some, well, I don't know, there weren't many shows back then, right? You had a,
yeah.
But, you know, radio.
We had two channels.
Yeah, you had a couple channels, right? Yeah, how would you even know about these things in the first place?
Yeah, you know, I think that I was, I came into here with what my purpose was already within me. Yeah. And I was somehow or another able to connect into it and then move forward through it. And when I look at what I did in my 20s, so half the time were those events, you know, the sporting events. The other half the time was writing. So I wrote for magazines, newspapers, and that. So when Paul Sheely and I got together for Learning Strategies, it was as if everything that I had been doing during that, the previous 10 years, led up to what we're doing with the Learning Strategies. So when we got together, Paul was our subject matter expert. He was the guru. He created the programs. He had his brain that thought that way. He had his expertise in neurolinguistic programming, whole brain learning, and preconscious processing. Me, I was about the communication. I was about being able to communicate with people through the written word. And also because of all the events that we did, I knew how to put on events that really attracted people. So we had to fill arenas. And so everything then led to Learning Strategies when Paul and I got together for that.
So When you had these ghost friends, right?
Yeah.
These invisible beings, like, how do you remember any of your conversations with them when you were a kid? And how old were you until they started kind of like disappearing to you?
Tell about six.
Okay. So from 4 to 6.
4 to 6. Yeah. Maybe a little bit before 4. And, but by 6, I don't remember anything after age 6. So, at one point, back in the 1990s, I met this couple from India and they did a rice reading. Have you ever done a rice reading?
I'm not sure. Not like intentionally.
Yeah. So the rice reading,
like a past life thing, or what is it?
No, it's like, you know, reading tea leaves. So they put those who can read tea leaves, read the pattern of the leaves that are in the cup. So they gave me rice and I tossed the rice onto a, like a napkin. And then based on how it landed there, they could tell me things. And they told me all about my friends. They told me about that age range. That's when the portal opened up for me and when it closed. So I hadn't told them anything about that before that conversation. It was just like out of the blue and it just fit with my life. So that's...
You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week, no matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code PANACEA15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I had a session with like a psychic. I think we all have psychic powers. It's, do we turn them on or not, right?
Yeah.
So like when I say a psychic, it's like all of us at some point have intuitive hits or kind of, everybody's had that experience that I've ever talked to of like, they're thinking of someone, then that person calls them right away.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a little taste of like our psychic abilities, but people are really tuned in psychically. Like I had a session with a woman a few months ago. And yeah, I mean, she told me things that there's no way she could have known. Like I've never told those things to anybody. She was talking, my great grandmother who had passed away years ago was there in the room with me. And like, she told me, I had a question about something with one of my businesses. And like, she told me exactly what I needed to do. And it was like, I went into tears because I was like, that's what I needed to hear. You know, like,
yeah,
that's exactly what I needed to hear. I knew that internally, but I was kind of, you know, denying it, if you will, or avoiding it. And yeah, those kinds of experiences are very, very powerful. I mean, I think there are some people out there who are, let's say, charlatans, right? But I think
they're
very genuine, psychically connected people as well.
And then also the other things that just happen on a day-to-day, how, you know, you just know things will be happening. So I'm right in the middle of one right now. So yesterday morning, I woke up and my chest was so sore. The pressure was so tight and everything. And what the heck? And I went out to Google, you know, heart attack and, you know, all that kind of stuff to see what's going on. And I'm reading everything and I used ChatGPT and it was kind of diagnosing myself to see if I should run into the emergency room. And I decided to go to the club instead of work out. But all day long, it just was, and it would come and go about every 7 minutes to 20 minutes. And it was, and sometimes it would just stop me in the middle of the conversation. Wow. And I went to bed last night and I said, okay, I'm just going to try to lay down and just sleep, see if I can get through the night. I had a good night's sleep, woke up, had a little bit of it this morning, not much, Then I got a telephone call from somebody at the office. One of our folks had been with us for 17 years. Since I heard her voice, it just in here, and I almost yelped like a dog. She was calling to say that she was leaving. So I knew the day before something was coming up, and it was a real intense stress response to my body. Because this is somebody that there's no way on earth I would want to leave, because she is just so valuable to us. But she said, you know, I'm turning 50 now, and this is, I got one last run and I want to do it now. And she said, I got this offer. And she said, 6 months ago was the farthest thing from her head, but this offer came and she paid attention to it. And she said, I have to take it. Mm. And so those signals are always coming to all of us all the time. We have to pay attention to them. We have to know what they mean. I don't know. I mean, I spent a whole lot of yesterday just thinking about what is this? Because I never had anything like that before. But it was like a part of me knew my, and I'm thinking more that my body didn't know how to react to the news that I was about to get. Mm-hmm. But I asked her when did she decide that she was going to take it? She said yesterday afternoon, which meant that, you know, overnight that was out there and it was coming to me, and I did not react to it in a way that I probably wish I would have reacted, you know, in a pain-free way.
Do you practice Qigong, or what does your kind of spiritual meditation practice look like?
Oh yeah, I do Qigong every day. So I'll do, you know, Spring Forth Qigong with Jenny Lin. And every day at 11:30, we stream for our clients, up to a couple thousand people, where we do the practice for half an hour. And most mornings then too, I will do, every morning I either listen to a paraliminal or I do a meditation, and it's usually one of Chinese meditation. And then I do a yoga. And then I usually, when I go to the club, it's in the afternoon or in the evening. But my guy, who's my trainer, needed to change up the schedule, so I went first thing yesterday morning. So that's my basic practice. And in the evening, sometimes before I go to bed, I'll do something too, just kind of depending on what's going on in my life. Now, but I hardly miss a day.
Now, do you have all of those things on your guys' new app? Is that all on the app now? Like, is the Qigong on the app too?
The Qigong is not on the app yet.
I've used the paraliminals on the app, and those are amazing.
Yeah.
Paraliminals are incredible. I do them in my sauna sometimes, and it's just like for, you know, reconnecting in a deep meditative state and then reprogramming the subconscious and really connecting to, you know, whether it's health or finances or business or your deeper purpose or whatever, stress reduction, you name it. Like the paraliminals are super powerful. You really, with that, you know, it's like left track, right track. It definitely takes you into that deeper state that I get into when I do pranayama, right?
Yeah.
Breath work will take me into that really deep meditative state. Paraliminals seem to do the same thing.
Yeah. And I love meditation and I love paraliminals. And what I love about the paraliminals the most is that with the meditation, you want to be focused and you want to be conscious during the meditation. With the paraliminal, you can let your mind go and you can fall asleep while listening. Mm-hmm. Most of them are only about 20 minutes and you will wake up at the end of it automatically because a part of you is always paying attention to it. So it's a way for you to be working with your other than conscious mind versus what, you know, you would normally do with the meditation, whether it's, you know, just a silent meditation or you're working with your energy or what have you. And another thing I like about them is that you can, you know, we have 70 different titles now, and you can take any issue that you have, whether the issue is there's an obstacle that you need to get past, or you have a goal that you want to move toward a goal, you can pick out a paraliminal and laser right into what your issue is and get a response, get a session right then and there. I mean, get results right then and there. So you mentioned a little bit earlier, Nathan, that is, you use the word reprogramming. And the paraliminals are not so much about reprogramming your other than conscious mind or your non-conscious or your subconscious. It's more about learning new strategies for what's going on in your world, how to respond to what's going on. That's where the name of our company comes from, Learning Strategies. So what Paul does is, Paul Scheele, who is the developer of the paraliminals, he has deep expertise in neurolinguistic programming. And one of our paraliminals is the memory supercharger. And what he did before we created that is he studied people who had superb memory, absolutely phenomenal memory, and worked with them to figure out what their internal strategies were, how they were clicking the circuits in their brain. And then he developed the paraliminal to guide you through clicking those pretty much those same circuits in that same order so that you improve your memory. And for most of the paraliminals, you only have to listen to once or twice and you'll start to get the results, or you'll get the results you want. If it's the memory supercharger, if you got a test or something coming up where you really need to have your memory, you only need to listen to it once. But if you want to improve your memory overall, you can listen to it every day for a week or, you know, 2 weeks, whatever it is that you want to do with that. And it's, so it's kind of neat how Paul took his expertise with that neuro-linguistic programming, accelerative learning, to create these little moments, you know, 20-minute moments, oasis moments, where you can kind of let go and change how you're using your subconscious mind.
Mm. And how did you guys discover paraliminals? And is there any science that supports like that technique?
Yeah, there's a lot of science on it. And that's easy to find. You could go to Learning Strategies and do the three-bar menu in the upper left-hand corner, and it just look for the foundations of paraliminal technology. It's also in the app. But what Paul did is kind of like with what I told my mom back when I was 4 years old, but this happened for him when he was in his 70s. The whole thing, the whole idea for the paraliminals, how they would work and what they were, came to him in the 1970s. But he didn't know what to do with that information. Mm. When we were working in the early days of Learning Strategies, it was mostly either corporate trainings or individual training seminars. We didn't have any products or anything like that. And so one day, it was in December of 1987, I asked Paul Scheele that, listen, we've got this brochure that's going out to clients, and I got a little space in the bottom of one side. Something else should we do? Do we want to do a little workshop or something? And he says, you know how we've talked about doing an audio tape? And I go, yeah. He said, let's do that. And I said, okay, great. So we put our brains together, spent, a few days on it to figure out if we only had one tape, one program that we would be willing to spend the rest of our life with, what would it be? Mm. And we came up with what became the new behavior generator.
One of my good friends and integrative cancer doctors, Michael Carlfelt, owns the Carlfelt Center in Meridian, Idaho. And I'm really grateful that their team has sponsored this episode. Dr. Carlfelt is a globally renowned naturopathic doctor in integrative oncology, and his center pioneers cutting-edge alternative therapies to combat cancer. They offer cutting-edge therapies, including high-dose IVs, ozone therapy, curcumin, mistletoe, photodynamic therapy, and many others within their 17,000 square foot advanced medical and wellness treatment facility. With decades of expertise, they offer comprehensive root cause medicine tailored to support your healing journey. You can begin your transformative experience with a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. You can call them at 208-338-8902. Or visit their website at thecarlfeltcenter.com. Again, that's 208-338-8902. Or go to the website, thecarlfeltcenter.com. Let's talk about Helin 951.
I first learned about this revolutionary product while attending a conference on natural cancer treatments. I then later interviewed Jim at Helin Products, and his cancer healing journey with this product truly inspired me. Helin 951 stands out for its profound effects on gut health, inflammation, cellular health, and immune system support. Unlike typical supplements, Helin 951 offers scientifically backed, tangible benefits and an over 30-year track record. Many of my listeners worldwide use Helin 951 not only as part of their cancer recovery, but also for general health and athletic performance. I use it myself as well. I really encourage you to head over to helin951.com/crane for exclusive deals and free shipping when you use code CRANE. If you're facing serious health challenges, call Helin Products and mention my name. Their team with over 3 decades of expertise is incredibly supportive. Don't wait. Experience the Helin difference today. That's helin951.com/crane. Imagine unlocking the power of your immune system with the turn of a key. That's exactly what Better Way Health's beta-glucan offers, a clinically proven cheat code for immune support, now available at a special discount. This unique formula combines the synergistic effects of beta-glucan with vitamin C, resveratrol, and selenium, boosting immune function, energy, mood, and overall performance. It's 8 times more potent than its top competitors. It's vegan, non-GMO, and gluten-free. And our friends at Better Way Health are saying, don't miss this opportunity to shield your health with a product backed by rigorous research and literally thousands of studies. Elevate your wellness journey with Better Way Health's beta-glucan and experience the difference in days, not weeks. Secure your supply today and feel the invincible shield up around your health. Just like countless satisfied customers worldwide, I actually take this beta-glucan myself and I highly recommend it. You can visit nathancrane.com/beta-glucan. That's BETAGLUCAN. nathancrane.com/beta-glucan for a special discount today.
And so side A is about reframing. So reframing is changing how you're looking to or responding to what's going on in your life. And side B is about modeling behaviors. So like the same thing with the memory, the guy who had a great memory, Paul modeled that person and created the memory supercharger. Well, you can model anything using session B of the new behavior generator. So we created that. And the technology behind the paraliminals, you mentioned the multiple voices. It's really interesting because when you first listen, there's a little introduction and then Paul helps you set what your intention is for the session. And then you go through a little relaxation period. And then his voice starts to split into two voices. One voice in one ear speaking to one part of your brain, another voice in the other ear speaking to a different part of the brain. The right voice usually is for your logical analytical left brain. It's bringing you through neuro-linguistic programming processes and other things. And the left brain is for your intuitive, creative right brain. And that's where Paul will bring in metaphors to support the change work that he's weaving together for you. And it really is weaving because as you listen to a paraliminal, so often Paul will start a sentence in the left ear that finishes up with the voice in the right ear that starts another sentence that goes over here and finishes up this one. It just weaves together. So you really can't follow along with it. It's like you get into this hypnagogic state where it's, oh, and it's like you're just ready to fall asleep. And the voices are just dancing around. And what's interesting is that the technology to create the paraliminal did not exist until then. There was no way to have the voices travel around your head. But we met this guy, his name was Brad Johnson, and Paul was telling him what he wanted to do with the paraliminals. This was in January, February then of 88. And Brad said, I can do this. And Paul said, what? Well, he was an engineer for Paisley Park, Prince's studio. And they were the first beta set test site for this new digital technology that would allow them to move the voices around the head. So we were able to use that in order to create the first paraliminal and then for all of the paraliminals. So the timing just came so perfect. And the other thing is kind of interesting is that we sent out that brochure and we had 100 people order and we charged $35 a tape for it. And we charged $35 because we knew it would cost us $3,500 and we could sell 100. We sent out the first 100 on Friday, April 15th. And then by that Monday, we had over 30% of the people, when we got to the office, had already called and left messages on the machine, tape machine. Back in those days, it was a tape machine. Yeah. And telling us how much they loved the paraliminal. But God had shaken us up the week before in that we had an NLP practitioner training starting up that we had been doing for a number of years, but enrollments were way down. And we ended up having to cancel it, which was just kind of frightening because we needed the money. You know, it was Paul and me and a part-time administrative assistant. You know, we needed the money to operate the business. And we didn't really know what we were going to do. But we went on and that Monday after that, we got all those calls. We decided, okay, we need to be doing paraliminals. And we set out a map for the next 5 that we would create. And we decided, yes, and we set the timelines for it and everything. First thing Tuesday morning, We get a call from one of our clients at Control Data. You know, they're the folks with the supercomputer. And she said, we'd like to have another photo reading seminar. Can you do one on this Thursday? And I said, well, let me check. I put the phone on hold and could hardly breathe because all of a sudden there was money coming in. And I got back and I said, yes. I said, we could definitely do it. How many people, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said, I got one other favor to ask of you. When are we going to get paid for this? It usually takes 6 months before you guys pay us. She said, we'll have a check for you on Thursday. So it was like,
thank you, God.
Yeah, everything was just coming together. And God opened up this space so we didn't have to worry about the NLP training. We could just focus on the paraliminals. And once we focused, once we made the plan, he took care of us. Isn't that cool?
It's so cool. It's such a cool story. I mean, it's so beautiful when you're in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing, something you're passionate about, something that's good for yourself, good for others. And those doors just open, right? It's like, we've got to have faith. We got to take one step in front of the other, you know, keep moving forward. Even if it looks impossible, like in all the walls are closing in. What I've learned over the years is if you just stay positive, stay focused on solutions and what you're trying to do, it's like this door opens, that door opens. It's like, we're getting little tests along the way, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you really want this? You're like, yeah. Or you go back to I'm afraid of the unknown. You go back to what's secure and safe.
Yeah, it's just that you can't get your underwear in the bundle and this kind of stuff. And we didn't when it came to the NLP training. We canceled. We just knew we had to do something. And we had to, we didn't know what it would be, but we had the paraliminal mailing they came in and we mailed them out to people. Then we responded to it. It's when you get your underwear in the bundle, then that's when, like you say, you go back to what you've done before, or you can't think, you get stuck. And we kept it open.
That's so awesome. That's so cool. And then now, I mean, paraliminals, you've had what, how many people go through and
millions. Yeah. Millions of people have the paraliminals over the earth. Yeah, absolutely.
Started from your first 100 on a cassette tape.
Yeah. I know.
And your app now is called Mind TRX, right? And Mind Tracks. And we talked about, I asked you about it like a few months back, why Mind Tracks, why Mind TRX? And I honestly don't exactly remember. So can you tell me again why it's called Mind Tracks?
Okay, I'll tell you two stories. One is what we tell our clients. And that is Mind Tracks. It's like these are audio tracks to work with your mind. And we wanted to do something that was a little bit different, but also TRX, you could read it as mind tricks, right? Mm. You could read it as mind tracks. You're going on a journey with these mind trucks. I don't know what you're going to plow over, but you know, something. So, you know, we had all those different reasons for it, but the real reason that we use mind tracks is that we started off with over 100 names. We just kept whittling it down to what our favorites were and what we thought would work the best. And then we just started to do test advertising on Facebook to see what people responded to. And it was mind tracks that people responded to, and it responded to that significantly more than any other names that we put out there for. So that's why it is mind track. But it works beautifully with what we're doing here.
And you put like people could vote. Is that what it was? You'd be like, vote your top five or something like that.
Oh no, because the only way people can vote is when they vote with their credit card. You know, that's the only one that really works. Yeah. So we set it up so that people we did a series of ads, and the only difference between the ad was the name in the upper left hand corner.
Oh,
small.
That's smart.
So what would people click on? And they ended up clicking on the one with Mind Tracks. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's small enough in the ad, people aren't even notice it, but they did notice it.
That's crazy. That's really smart. That's a really smart thing. Yeah. Cause it's true. Like you could send out surveys and things like that. And it's like, you're going to get surveys back from people who take surveys, but it doesn't mean you're getting, you know, everybody's feedback in a holistic approach. And also it doesn't mean that they're actually going to do anything if you actually do what they say. I mean, we all.
Yeah, exactly.
Surveys. Yeah. So going back to intuition, I think intuition is really incredible, because as we practice Qigong, meditation, pranayama, deeper spiritual practices, what I've noticed in my own life over the years is, you know, my intuition cultivates, right? It gets more and more. And you spoke about intuition and the power of intuition. It's like, I feel like it is our soul's ability to connect to the universe around us. And the more that we tap into that, the more that we can kind of see things coming ahead of time. We can, you know, avoid pitfalls. We can make better decisions in our life, in our business. We can, you know, take a right step instead of a left step or a wrong step or a step that's going to, you know, put us down in a hole for a little while if we really listen to that inner voice. I want to share a quick story, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on intuition, like, and how people can cultivate it further. Because, this is probably 12, 15 years ago now. We knew my grandpa on my dad's side was going to be passing soon, you know, maybe in a week, in a month, a few months, but he was in hospice. You know, he had drank alcohol his whole life and ate lots of fried chicken, lots of fried food, and was, you know, was traumatized from war. He came back from World War II, and so he had a lot going on and could never give up cigarettes, alcohol, was actually a very mean person. But I had a good relationship with him as a kid. My dad didn't, though. And anyway, I felt a lot of compassion for him. I was in Oceanside, California. He was in Arizona. I hadn't talked to him in a long time, but I knew, you know, any day now he's going to be passing. And for whatever reason, this particular night, I decided to, you know, go into a meditation and connect to him, just connect to his spirit, his energy. I just had this like intuition to do it. And I hadn't really done that before to anybody else. So it was just kind of going with the flow kind of thing, didn't really know what I was doing. And as I was sitting there in meditation, I could feel his spirit. And I just felt like, I was like, hey, Grandpa, is there, you know, how are you? And actually his response was like kind of shocking. It was, oh, I'm doing excellent. I'm great. And I go, you're great. What do you mean? Like, you know, I was kind of like shocked at one that I'm having this conversation. I'm like, am I having this conversation with myself? Am I, you know, is it actually my grandpa's spirit?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm free. No pain. I'm free. You don't have to worry about anything. And I felt it in that moment that he had passed and I was speaking to his soul that had just left the body. And so this was like, I think around 11 o'clock midnight at night. And so I was like, okay. So I went to sleep and woke up next day. And then my dad called me and said, hey, guess what? Grandpa passed. And I said, I know. He was like, what? What do you mean you know? I was like, yeah, last night I was talking to a spirit and it was this time. And that was exactly the time that he had passed, was literally
That's
like
cool.
minutes. Minutes after I'd been talking to a spirit. And so that just kind of like opened me up to this whole other world that I had been diving into for a number of years before that, of like, we can connect to our loved ones, to our soul, you know, to just spirits on the other side, to people who've passed, who've left. And yes, as he left his body, there was no more pain and suffering. He was free of that. You know, that's a lot of people's fear of death, right? Of like, oh, his soul's going to be burning in hell forever. It was like, no, he was free. He was happy. He was pain free. And he was not a good person, but he wasn't burning in hell. You know, it was like he was transitioning on to the next stage of reality, whatever that's going to be for him. And anyway, that was like a really powerful experience.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so intuition, what are your thoughts on, you know, developing intuition? Is it something that people can cultivate further in their lives? Can they open up more intuitive channels? And like, even in your own life, do you think you could open up those channels again where you're, you know, connected with your ghost friends, you know? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so as far as opening up the channels there, so I'll have connection with friends on the other side on a semi-regular basis. And it's hard for me to compare what it was like to back then, because I really don't know. You know, it's hard to make that comparison. But there's so many different ways to be able to open up the channels. And the most important one, I think, is that you have to get your conscious mind out of the way. You have to just not let that always be controlling your life. And when you can do that, then you can allow those other messages that are within you or coming to you bubble up so that you can pay attention to them. Sometimes they come up as a feeling. Sometimes you hear something. Sometimes it's a smell. When a friend of mine passed once in January of 1987, I'm in the food service of the cafeteria of the hospital. And all of a sudden, I smelt that cologne that Jeff always wore that drove everybody to distraction by it. But it's like, it was right there and I looked around, there's nobody else around. So those are different types of ways that you can cultivate it or to recognize it, just notice what's going on. And something that's really easy for a lot of people is that when a friend does pass, look for postcards from heaven, because you're going to see them. They're everywhere, because they have that ability to kind of, if you're connected with them, to kind of allow things to happen, and you can pick up on them. Here's a great story. I'll tell you this one. So my friend Dana died, and he worked with us at Learning Strategies for 20-some years, and he was in his 40s. And we have, of course, a numerology. And so Gordon Spowart, who is our mentor for numerology, kind of put together a system for playing Powerball or the lottery using numerology. Mm-hmm. And so Dan and I, just for the fun of it, we would do it. And Gordon helped set something up so that we could use our collective birth dates and all that kind of stuff for the right numbers. And so, and at certain days through the year, we would have to buy a ticket. Well, after he passed, one of those days showed up on my calendar. And I said, I wonder if I should. Yeah, might as well. So I went to the gas station and got my Powerball ticket. And I looked at it and I thought it was kind of interesting that the first and the last number, the first number and then the Powerball number, were the two numbers that needed to have on our winning ticket, but nothing else. But I got excited. And I thought, okay, so that night I looked at it and I watched it to the drawing and it did not win. That's fine. The next drawing came up a couple weeks later or so, and I bought another ticket. And this time the numbers were exactly double what the numbers were in the ticket for the first date. Mm. I said, fantastic. And so I go to the, watch the news and nothing, didn't anything. And then a few weeks later, when the next day came up for getting a ticket, I got the ticket and there was no rhyme or reason to anything. Nothing made sense for it. And it bugged me for those, that was on Wednesday, and it bugged me. And on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I woke up Saturday morning. Oh, wait a minute. Doubling is nothing. There's nothing in the system for numerology and the Powerball that had to do with doubling. So there had to be something in the first Powerball ticket. And so I looked at it and looked at it. I said, oh, what the heck? And then I did the old basic. 1 equals A, 2 equals B, 3 equals C, 4 equals D. And it spelled out, hi, Dana.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Oh, my God, I just got chills.
Oh, God. It was just so cool. And over the course of the next year that I kept, over the course of the next year, there were so many other types of messages from Dana, but he and I had always said that, hey, whoever goes first, figure out how to send messages back. So we already had that set up. And so we had a lot of those things play out over time. Another one, you know, our Spring Force Qigong course with Chen Yi. Mm-hmm. So we're creating this brand new course with Chen Yi. And it was hard to find the perfect place. We wanted to do a location outside. So I'm driving all around Minnesota, going to all the parks and trying to figure out where's this beautiful tree. And one morning, I'm out one last run down this one creek in Minneapolis, Minnehaha Creek, and I wanted to see if maybe there's something there that I missed. But as I'm getting to turn left, I just suddenly turned right. I said, what's that about? And I said, okay, I follow my intuition. I just had this urge to turn right. Then I'm going, and sure enough, maybe a quarter of a block away, a block away, there's this magnificent tree. And I said, oh, this is it. Because we wanted a huge tree to practice it from, because the energies of trees are so beautiful for practicing Qigong. And I sent the pictures to Chen Yi, said, yeah, that's it. So we filmed the program there and all of that kind of stuff. And then at the end, we all were standing around the tree. There were like maybe a dozen of staff around the tree. And we're having our pictures taken. Then I looked down and there's a nickel on the ground and I picked it up and the date on the nickel was 1973, which was Dana's birthday. Mm. And so it's kind of like, I betcha he was helping to nudge me to the right to find
turn
that
right,
perfect
turn right,
tree.
Turn right, yeah.
Yeah, and then he sent the message. I thought, oh, that's so cool.
Now that's the, if I remember seeing that video with Chunyi, the tree, if you're looking at it, facing at the trees on my right side, the trees on his left side, and there's a, is there a pond behind him? Or
yeah, there's a lake. It's Lake Nokomis in the Twin Cities.
I remember seeing that. Yeah, that is a beautiful tree.
Yeah, it really is a gorgeous tree. It was just perfect for the whole program that we wanted to film.
That's incredible. I mean, what a beautiful story. You and your, you know, connecting with your friend after he's passed multiple times. You connected with him. He's connected with you. So, what do you think? What do you think happens after we die?
I think that when we go on, we go into this space where, you know, everybody is there, our friends, our unseen helpers that have been supporting us all our lives, they're there. They're still partway lucid for, you know, what's on earth here. They still have part of that personality there. And then at some point it expands out and you start to realize, you know, what the truth of existence really is. So if you did some dastardly things and you're going there and, you know, there's a reckoning, but at first it's like you've just been supported by all this love and all these, everybody there to help you through that process. Then you go through a period where you have to get, you know, whatever it is that you need to clear up, like the karma that, you know, things that need to be cleared up before your next circle of life, you go through a period where you have to be working on that, whether it's, I don't know, you know, people say anywhere from, I mean, it could be a couple hundred years before you come back. And then you can come back. But during that time, you can still connect with everybody down below, down on earth, not down below, but on earth. And all you have to do is think of them. And someone once told me, you say their name three times. So I've always done that. So, you know, Dana, 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 or mom, mom, mom. And then I can feel. Now, when my mom passed in 1999, I didn't feel her come back for the next 10 years. Dad passed in 2010. And at the funeral, I felt mom over my right shoulder. I could just feel her. Mm-hmm. And I go, holy smokes. And then from that moment on, it's been really easy to connect with mom. Mm. And so you can always connect with them. On the internet, there's a whole lot of ways that you can try. It's all about how do you become open for it? How do you just allow, there's that willingness and that allowingness to allow people to connect with you, or the same thing with your intuition. How do you pay attention to the signals that are there? And then what do you do once you have those signals? It's like, you know, so yesterday I had that really tough signal right here. I didn't know what that was at the time. And, you know, and maybe there was a pre-signal that triggered this. I don't know. But it's like, how do you pay attention to that kind of stuff? And we have, you know, we have a course on intuition called A Deep Listening. So there's lots of different ways to do that, to pay attention to your intuition. Even on MindTracks, we have the intuition amplifier. You can listen to that paraliminal. I listen to it once a day for about a weekish, and then periodically thereafter, and you'll find your intuition improving. And Brian Osborne, he created a course with us called Four Elements Manifestation. And one of the things that he says is every time you see something in your life that reinforces something that you're working on, it's like, you know, for either manifestation or for intuition or anything like that, you say, more like that, please. And then more like that, please. And then that's kind of welcoming more like that, messages.
Please. Oh, I love that. I love that.
More like that, please.
What a good practice. Yeah. Well, yeah. And you're telling your conscious and your subconscious and your soul, everything. You're saying, yeah, more like that, please. More. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. It's, yeah. That's.
And practicing things like Spring Forest Qigong will do it. Or, you know, our photo reading program where we teach people how to go through a book at 25,000 words a minute, a flip per second. You're getting your conscious mind all the way because you can't consciously pay attention to everything that's in that book. That helps open up channels of intuition. So
is that
anything
in Mind
that you
TRX, is that a course?
No, photo reading is not in that either. That's Through the our regular website, learningstrategies.com.
Photo reading?
Photo reading, yeah. So that was actually the thing that got Paul and me to get together for Learning Strategies was he called me up and says, Pete, what if you could be taught to go through a book if that's between the pages? And I said, okay, if that's for real, I'm in. And because I've always known it would be possible, all my life I've thought about it, but I had no idea how to do it. I took speed reading course, I did everything. I couldn't break through that barrier. We got together, we played with it, and all of a sudden, oh my God, this is a life changer for me. And a couple of weeks later, I'm hauling my office furniture up the elevator.
It reminds me of something that happened to me recently. I was at my acupuncturist, and we were talking about all kinds of things. And then he was telling me how, you know, he found Jesus and Jesus saved his life. And now, you know, now he's like a devout Christian. And he was telling me how I'm going to have a really deep, strong relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to know Jesus. And I thought, yeah, that sounds good. I could have a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. And I could definitely have a deeper relationship. And so what was interesting was like, you know what, I'm going to really start diving into the Bible, reading it, meditating on it. Like I've looked through it over the years and have found many different verses that like have transformed how I think of Jesus and Christianity into, I think, a holistic viewpoint of spirituality and, you know, Jesus as a master teacher, right? And what was interesting about this whole series of coincidences that happened was I thought, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And then somehow Paramahansa Yogananda popped up back in my life. I read his book, you know, Autobiography of a Yogi, like 15 years ago, and something popped up around the same time. And then I remembered, oh, Yogananda has a book about Jesus and, you know, his yogic principles based on what Jesus' teachings. And I thought, it was funny as I immediately bought that book. And then I realized, like, I already had, like, I think two of those books in my bookshelf like years ago. So yeah, now I have, like, three of them.
We've all done that.
I literally found, like, the other one the other day. I was like, okay. But then, so I'm reading through that. And then I go... and then I'm listening to, I'm like, I'm going to listen to Autobiography of a Yogi on Audible this time. I read it before, now I'm going to listen to it. And so I'm listening to it. And then I just like, as I'm listening to that, I'm diving deep into the Bible, Jesus's teachings, you know, Yogananda's viewpoint on Jesus. And all of a sudden, I just get this like deep, you know, pull, magnetism to like, yeah. Boom, Vedas, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita. Like I've read the Bhagavad Gita like, you know, 20 years ago, but now I'm like, go deep into all the yogic teachings as deep as I possibly can. And now I'm like, just like so immersed in it 24/7. And it was, what's funny about it, and I'm loving it. And what's funny about it is like, that was triggered by my Christian acupuncturist from China who was previously an atheist.
Yeah.
Who said, I'm going to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, you know? It was just so funny, but it was like, boom. But listening, every one of those was like an intuitive hit. Buy this book, do this, go do this meditation, boom, 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 boom. And it's like, now I can see my whole life transforming to the next level of what I'm, you know, what I'm here to do. So,
You should play with photo reading because this is what can happen. So first of all, again, it's a way to input information as fast as you can turn the pages. It goes right into your other than conscious mind. Consciously, you don't know a whole lot what's in that book. Okay. If you Google me photo reading, you'll see a television example of me going through a book at 100 some thousand words a minute and immediately answering questions from it. That's not what the average person will do, not as good as I do. But what you do is you then go through it. It takes you 5 minutes to go through a book. And then you can spend anywhere from a half an hour to a couple of hours to activate that information in that book. And it's a way of using the book itself to help trigger back from your other than conscious mind into your conscious mind, information that you may need to know. So there's a lot of real practical ways of doing it, playing with it. But there's some other ways that are really cool, especially in the spirituality side. And that is before you go to bed, photo read a part of the Bible. You could do the whole thing, but it'll take you a long time. So you just photo read the Bible, and then you may have an intention in mind, or maybe you want to have insight into something. And then photo read it, then you go to bed, and then pay attention to your dreams, because it's highly possible that you, whatever it was that you're photo reading, will be showing up in your life as it relates to what your intention is. So we have a lot of ministers who, that's how they write their the sermons, is they will have an intention of, I want to do a sermon on this. They'll photo read it, they'll go to bed, and then they dream about it, or they wake up thinking about it, and they know exactly what their sermon is going to be and how it relates to what they just did in the Bible. So that's one way to do it, is that you can photo read it and then pay attention to what your thoughts are or your dreams, or first in the morning, or even what shows up the next few days, because that stuff will then be showing up with that. And you could take all the different, you could take different books, and you can photo read three different books from three different perspectives. Let's say they're spiritual books. And then you photo read that too, and just see what happens with the next couple of days. See what thoughts come into your head. See where you daydream. And if you're doing journaling, see what comes out from it. Because your other than conscious mind is so powerful when it's able to do it. It's kind of like a gigantic ChatGPT. That's for you and whatever your intention is.
That's so cool. I'm definitely going to try it. So, I mean, and that's the incredible thing about our mind and our brain specifically, is you could look up at the ceiling and look down, and your mind and your brain has already captured every single detail that's on that ceiling. Yeah. I could not recall it consciously, but you know, my subconscious could, right? Like my mind could recall it if we had these skills and tools. People who've developed those kinds of abilities, usually they're autistic, right? We call them autistic, but they have these incredible abilities that are like that part of their mind or that part of their brain is so activated where maybe other parts, social parts or things like that are not, right? So we have those capabilities, which is really cool. But I was going to ask you about, you said, you know, the average person doing photo reading, getting started, you know, wouldn't be able to do it as good as like you were explaining, where like you could read it and then answer questions on it right away. How could someone get that good at doing it?
Well, the first thing is what everybody can do is they can photo read the book and put the information in for as fast as it takes them to turn the pages. Then the time to activate the book so that you have at least as much knowledge as if you had read the book is usually about a third of the time. So if it would take you 10 hours to read a book regular to get what you consider to be full comprehension, using the photo reading whole mind system, it's about 3 hours. And then the more that you do it, the time that you spend with that book just keeps reducing and reducing and reducing, so that it's very easy then to get a book, photo read it, and then activate it in about 20 minutes. And then you can get to the, when I do those demonstrations on TV, and I haven't done one in a long time, is that it takes a lot for me to prepare for it. I'm photo reading. Okay.
Let's do it on my podcast. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. I'm photo reading like 10 books a day for a couple of weeks. And I'm listening to the memory soup chart. I'm doing all this kind of stuff to get myself to the place my brain is doing it. So if I did it now, I'd probably be amazing. But if I'm going to do, when they give me a stack of books and then I have to photo read one of them and to do it, then it's nice to be prepared for it. But then how that information comes to me is usually it is, sometimes it's a feeling, but usually there's a picture that comes to me and I just describe the picture. And it may have, sometimes I have no idea what that picture has to do with anything, but the more I talk about it, then the answer unfolds. Then I know what it is that we're doing that, you know, what the answer is for that. Now, other people, I'll have a different feeling, a different experience. Some will get feelings about something and then, or they'll just get colors and things just keep unfolding and then they start to get it. Now, I'm really good about going into a book and then getting the details on it. Paul Scheele, on the other hand, he is so good at photo reading a book and then just kind of talking about everything about the book, the arc of the book and, you know, what's in it and how it all relates to it. Me, I don't get it. The only way that I get it would be if you'd ask me a billion questions, and then next thing you know, after answering the questions, I know what the book is about, but I know all the answers. And there's one time I was doing a TV thing, and it was a John Grisham book, and I don't remember which one it was. And they had me photo read it. And it was just photo read, not the whole thing, but, you know, X number of chapters. And then they asked me a series of questions, and I forgot the first couple of questions, right? And then they asked me, what is the significance of red wine in the boardroom? Red wine in the boardroom. Red wine in the boardroom. No pictures are coming up with red wine in the boardroom. And I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to it. And then during the break, the director asked, who did this, did the questions? And the gal came up and said, what is this red wine? And she says, it's not red wine, it's red wire. And then just like that, I said, oh God, yeah, there was a bomb in the boardroom, and it was the red wire that they had to disconnect from the bomb in order to, you know, whatever. So it was like the way she wrote it down, handwritten it, and the guy who was reading it read wine instead of wire. But as soon as it was a wire, then it all just triggered in.
Boom, you got all that. You got
the, yeah, I got it all. Right, just spontaneously, just like that.
So is it useful then, like you said, you may not, like the way that you receive it is not necessarily like, you know, understanding the story and the meanings and things like that necessarily. You get images, you have to ask questions and think about it. Like, yeah. How is that useful for personal development or cultivating leadership or like, you know, books like self-growth books, spiritual books, things like that?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing is to realize you don't need to consciously know everything that's in the book. So if you photo read the book, you put it in, and you always want to have what your intention is. And it could be, my intention is to get everything from the book that would need, that I would need in order to support my goal or whatever it is. And trust that as you get into a situation where you need the information, you're going to have access to it. Trust that you can make decisions based on the information that you had photo read. So that's one way to do it. That takes a lot of trust. A lot of people say, no, I can't rely on that. I can't, you know, but eventually you do it enough times and you start having those experiences, you are able to rely on it.
Does that, like, let's say I'm just thinking of an example. Let's say you're reading a leadership book, for example, yeah. Or team management, you're an entrepreneur or whatever. And you read, you know, Maxwell's laws or, you know, some leadership book, or you did the photo reading, boom.
Yeah.
Now you have that, you're relying on it. Let's say you get into a situation, leadership situation, and then, you know, it's like you need, so like, do you have to call, are you calling upon that in the situation, or does it like just appear and you kind of remember like it came from that book? Like, how does that?
Yeah, it's almost as if it's something that you learned 6 months before. So you've already learned it on a deep inner level. So it becomes part of who you are. Otherwise, if you had learned something 6 months ago and consciously, if you learned it and then you need to rely on it, you don't necessarily think, oh, I got it from this book or I have to recall from the book. No, it becomes part of who you are.
If you use it, right? Like
if you use it, yeah.
Yeah, because reading, I don't remember what the average numbers are, but like we retain like 18% or something of usually what we read. If you write it down, you know, that like doubles roughly. If there's a visual, like video, audio and writing, right? It's maybe 40%. If you're experiential at a conference and you're getting your emotions up and all of that, you get your body involved, it's like 50, 60, 70%. I don't remember the exact percentages, but I know reading just by itself for most people, we actually don't retain very much of what we read, you know?
Yeah. And that's because you're relying on your conscious mind. And we teach you how not to rely on your conscious mind. And then there's a lot
reading,
of ways
to photo reading, like allow you to retain more then, do you think?
Yes. Mm. It kind of depends on what your goal is when you're approaching a particular book. Mm. So intention, retention and comprehension typically will increase when you're using the photo reading system. But what you may end up finding is that if you end up pushing the envelope, it might cause it to decrease. But it depends on what you want to get out of it. And so sometimes one of the things that we teach you in a book is that not everything that's in the book is really relevant to you, your intention or your question. So how do you gain access to that information. That's what photo reading is all about. It takes it from being a passive process, which is how most people approach reading. Oh, I'm just going to read it and see what sticks type of thing, to an active process where you know what it is that you want to get from that book and how it's going to benefit you. Then it becomes so much easier to pull that from the book and to use it in your everyday life.
Okay. So it'd be like, all right, I've got this book on spirituality or meditation or whatever, and okay, show me or retain, you know, what I need to know in terms of, you know, my goal is to be enlightened in this life, right? What do I show me what I need to know or retain what I need to know in relationship to that specific thing?
Yes, that's one approach.
Or to find my soulmate, if you're like, you know, looking for a relationship, or if you're, you know, whatever it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's not about the very specific things. It's about, I mean, you can ask for very specific things. And for sometimes there are times when I've needed something, I've just needed a fact. And this was more before there was the Google, how do you find that?
You can't rely on totally either, but.
No, you're right. But at least, you know, it's a way to, you know, to start that process. So if you need the specific information, there's kind of like one way to go after specific information, or if you want the information to become part of who you are, so that is easier for you to make the decisions to operate on a day-to-day basis as consistent with what your goal is, then yes. So if you want to have a relationship, you don't have a relationship, go read a whole bunch of books on relationships and then allow it to unfold with you. Now, you're going to get conflicting advice. It doesn't matter, because you get conflicting advice anywhere in life right now. So it's about how do you then take that information and just have that unfold in your life, so that when you're going out on a date for somebody, a part of you knows the types of things that you shouldn't be doing or that you can be doing with it.
Yeah, that would have been helpful for me to learn photo reading before I had kids, and then read a bunch of kids, you know, raising kids.
Yeah.
Read Gabriel Cousins. Well,
there's a lot of people that do that, and it's a lifesaver for them.
Yeah, we say like, oh yeah, there's no manual on raising kids. Well, there's a lot of books about it, but yeah, you are going to get conflicting advice. Some are going to tell you, yeah, discipline, or others going to tell you don't discipline, right? And so it's like, I think one is you got to really trust the source, but then two, obviously you're going to be using discernment, and you might try something and it doesn't work, and so it's like, okay, that's how we learn, right? Like, that's not working. Let me try something else.
Yeah.
Like my son, my 8-year-old son. I mean, two years ago, he was six. Like we couldn't use any kind of like, he was using reverse psychology on us, you know, or like punishment on us. He's like, fine. You know, we'd be like, oh yeah, if you don't do this and you know, you can't watch the iPad. And then he'd be like, you know, that only worked for a little while. And then he's like, I don't want to watch the iPad, you know, throw it away and like start using it back on us. I'm like, all right, that doesn't work. I got to switch this up. This is not working. He's a very strong-willed, strong-minded young individual. So I'm really finding that balance between being a guide and being a father and trying to guide him in the best direction without totally controlling his life. You know, it's tough. It is tough for sure.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple other things with photo reading that you might appreciate. I remember one of our first stories that came in was from an author who wrote murder mysteries. And what he ended up doing would be to photo read two or three books that someone else wrote before sitting down to write. So that's, you know, 15 minutes. And then he would just sit down to write, and he found that he was able to get in the flow so much quicker and write so much faster. And he was turning chapters into his agent after one or two drafts instead of the usual five or six drafts, because what his intention was to be able to become a better writer, to be able to tell the story that he had. And there was another guy, his name was Marty, and he was a graphic designer. And what he would do is before he would sit down to work on a project, or if he ever got stuck on a project, is he'd photo read a couple design books, and then he would sit down to do his work. And sure enough, it was a lot easier for him to create whatever it was that he was designing. So you can use photo reading as a way to help to stimulate your mind, to get your mind into that flow state and to draw in everything that's possible so that you can create whatever it is that you want to create.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm working on a new book right now. So give me some.
Yeah. So, you know, just take a book, and it doesn't have to be anything, you know, in the same subject, but just take a book of somebody who you think who is an absolutely superb writer and photo read that book. And maybe photo read it multiple times. And your intention is that you want to be able to write in the style and flair of this particular author. Or, you know, be clear of what your intention is. And you'll find that your writing improves.
You could be like, I want to emulate the parts of this writing that I really connect with, I really resonate with, I really like, right? And
yeah.
Okay, interesting. That's really cool. And so photo reading, is it like, I did a little bit of experiment with a little bit of speed reading like a long time ago, but I never kept up with it. And I think that was like, you would actually, if I remember correctly, you would read chunks across the page, almost right to left down the page, or you just go straight down the page with your finger. And then this, is it same as speed reading? Is it different?
No, not at all. So with photo reading, you're flipping through the book at one flip per second. Boom, boom, boom. What you're doing with your eyes is you're diverging your eyes so that you see like a little blip page down the middle of the page. So you can't even, you're not even focusing on the words. And maybe you're chanting something. One, two, three, four, relax, relax. Turn the page as you're going through the book. Me, I don't do this now, but what I used to do was one, two, buckle my shoe, three, four. It didn't matter. You just want to get that rhythm down. Mm-hmm. And you kind of want to get your conscious mind all the way so the information can go in. And so it's not at all like speed reading. Then when it comes to activating the material so that you know it consciously, one way that you can do that is just by going through, well, the coolest thing is you go through the chapter, the table of contents, and you scan through the table of contents, and you might say, okay, chapter four, that one's most intriguing. You go to chapter four and just move your eyes down the center of the page. You'll start to pick everything up that's in it, and you're activating that material so it becomes alive for you. And when you do it that way, by first of all, intuitively picking the chapter that you want to go to, don't left brain it, just, you know, go to whichever one you're drawn to, then you're going to find that you're getting the information that is probably most relevant, pertinent to you at the time.
Okay, I got to tell you, that you just remind me of another story I got to tell you.
Yeah.
So I was in San Diego, and I was like learning dream interpretation. And I was learning from a few different people, a friend of mine, David Dibble, who had discovered this incredible way of dream interpretation from some like master guy, can't remember from where. And then I was learning, you know, from a couple other friends at the same time and a spiritual mentor. And So one of the things with dream interpretation, and I think you kind of mentioned this earlier, is like, as you're laying there before bed, you can say, you know, show me what I need to know about XYZ in my dreams tonight.
Yeah.
And then you go to sleep and you trust. And when you wake up, whatever dream, whatever you remember, you know, you just write, don't try to think about it, just write it down.
Yep.
So I had this, so I was doing this as I was learning dream interpretation. I had this dream of this, I was in a car, but I was actually in the dream, I was in Montana and I was in an old car and all this stuff. But this young woman came up to me, and I'd never seen her before in my life. And she came up to me and she gave me something. And then I went in the car and then I drove away, and it was like something I needed. And then I woke up and I was like, so I wrote it down. I thought about it. I was like, who is this person? I've never seen this person before in my life. And what did she give me? What does all this mean? Blah, blah, blah. And so I went walking down Ocean Beach, down the main street there. And as I'm walking throughout the day, kind of headed towards the beach and just thinking on this, kind of reflecting on it, somebody walks outside from like a restaurant or a bar, like at the corner of my eye right next to me. And I'm still just kind of in my own world walking. But I notice after a couple blocks, like this person's still right at the same pace as me. And usually like walking, like I'll go ahead of someone or behind someone. They usually don't stay right next to me the whole time. And as I'm walking, I'm like, this is kind of weird. And so I'm going, we make it, we end up going right to the beach together. And I thought, who is this person? I looked over. It was the lady that was in my dream. The exact lady. Exact lady, right?
Yeah.
So and we go and say, and I still didn't say anything to her because I'm like tripped out. And so we end up going and sitting down at the exact same spot. Like right where I was going to sit, she sat like 2 feet away from me. Yeah. We hadn't said anything to each other yet. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, she's going to think I'm hitting on her, right?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You were in my dreams last night, babe, you know? And so I thought, you know what? I have to tell her. She was in my dream. Like and so I told her, I said, you know, I got to tell you something really crazy. I had a dream last night and you were in it. And she didn't even bat an eye. She didn't even say anything. And she goes, I have something for you. And she pulls out a book and she hands me a book. And I'm like, what is going on right now? I was like, am I still dreaming?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And then she walks away. We didn't even talk. And I took a minute and then I looked at the book and I was like, it was one of Freud's books on dream interpretation. Understanding our dreams. I can't remember what that book is called, but it's Freud dream understanding yeah. deep meaning of our dreams or something like that. And I just thought, okay, this is crazy. This is incredible. And so I went back to the house where I was staying that night. And same thing, I just had that intuition like you were just talking about. I go, okay, show me what I need to know from this book. So I started reading it and I was like, this isn't really my thing. I'm not sure, you know, Freud's thing I don't really resonate with, and everybody has a, you know, sexual thing with their mother and all of that, right? Like I'm like, I just so I just flip, I just guide me to what I need to know. And I just stopped at a chapter. I read one or two pages and I closed it and I was like, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And it was just such a powerful confirmation experience of like how, you know, when we're paying attention to our dreams, to the spirit world, to the inner world, like how these kind of miraculous things can happen. And it was, you know, boom, yep, boom, close it. And I think I still have the book actually, but I've never read any more than those two.
Yeah. But see, that's what you could do. So when you learn photo reading, then you just, you give yourself a suggestion before you begin, say, I want to find in here anything else that could be a benefit to me beyond what that was, and just photo read. And then when you get that feeling, you'll get a shift of some sort, stop and read it. Or maybe you have to flip back a couple pages to where you started to have that feeling, or you started to have those sights and see what it is. Mm. So one example, I was doing a whole bunch of romance novels because I wanted to feel emotions when I'm photo reading. And it was a Judith Krantz book now. I'm photo reading it. And all of a sudden I started to remember and see pictures of a skiing vacation I had in Europe when I was in college. So I stopped and I paged back to where I started to have the dreams or the images. And sure enough, the Russian Tsar and his family were on a skiing trip in Switzerland. And so it was the exact thing. I mean, it was translated to the pictures in my head, which was about my life, but I connected with it. And another one, it was, I don't remember who the author was, but it was a thriller. And I'm photo reading it. And all of a sudden, I knew something horrible had happened. Mm. And I stopped and looked. Sure enough, that was the principal murder in the book, was right there where I had that feeling. So when you go to that book that woman gave you, just photo read it. And when you get a shift or when you start to see something, stop to see what it could be and what that message is for you.
Mm, interesting. So you're photo reading. And then as soon as you get a feeling, stop.
Yeah.
You might go back a couple pages or something if you got that feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. It's all about playing with it to see what happens.
Now, is this a book you guys wrote, how to do this, or is this a course through Learning Strategies? What is?
Yeah, there's a book called the Photo Reading Whole Mind System book. The easiest way, though, is at learningstrategies.com. We have a home study course, $100, thereabouts. And it's like 8 audio sessions. And go through it, and you'll photo read books with as you go through the program. That's the easiest way to learn it.
Oh, it'll and guide then, you. Like it'll guide you as you're doing it. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the easiest way to learn it. We also have seminars and that kind of stuff, but the home study course is really the way to go.
Yeah.
And you can go through it multiple times, because every time you go through the course, you're getting more from it, because you're learning it from the perspective of already been here before. And all of a sudden stuff that did not make sense to you beforehand, or you're something that had this particular meaning for you, it has a different meaning now that you've been using it. Mm. So as with everything, it's about playing with it.
Yeah. So with your Mind Tracks app, Mind TR. I still see it as Mind TRX. Mind Trucks. Yes. What's coming up with that? Like, what's the future look like for that?
Well, the whole thing is that we're building a subscriber base now, and we're finding out what our clients are looking for, what additional programs they want to have into it. And then we'll be developing those paraliminals for that. So we're put a new AI aspect into it now where folks can ask questions. If you have any question whatsoever about your life or your self-development, it will come back and tell you which paraliminals to be using, et cetera. And then what we're going to be able to do is, based on the questions that people are asking, we don't know who's asking the questions, we just can see the questions. We can see what people are actually looking for and what else can be put into the program to make it easier for somebody to get that experience, that result with it. Or maybe we need to create a coaching program for it. So now you have the 70 paraliminals, you get 70 video coaching sessions already to help you go deeper with that. Then there's a half dozen other personal learning courses that are based on paraliminals that are included with it. There's a podcast, and then we do, we have sleep tracks. You know that part where we're talking about the different voice in each ear speaking different parts of your brain? We separate it out so you can just listen to that part of it. And that is so cool when you're falling asleep at night to have those messages going on, because that's about sleep learning. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night, you can put on a sleep track and that will help you fall back to sleep in such a positive way. So you're putting all these positive statements into your head. Or the other thing is, if you're outside gardening, I do it oftentimes. I'll put in my headphones and I'm up there in the garden, just, you know, working in the gardens, and just all this beautiful positive stuff is just flowing in and out of me.
I love that. So I'm looking at the sleep and relaxation paraliminals. So like it shows three on here. Which one is the one you were talking about? Or it's not on there yet? The one that you pulled out that you can just like listen to as you're falling asleep?
Oh, any of them on the sleep tracks. Oh, so yeah. When you're, there's a couple ways to get them. If you slide down, this is.
Oh, sleep tracks. Okay. So these are, I see these now. Okay. So there's like prosperity, success, relationships, yep, and love. Oh, okay. So this is new.
Yeah. So right above that, you'll see the carousel of paraliminals. Then you see like 10 minute supercharge and abundant money mindset. Mm-hmm. So if you tap on abundant money mindset, and then if you do see where you have that little moon and the Z. Mm-hmm. You tap on that, and that'll bring you right to that part of that paraliminal. So you can use that as a sleep track. Oh. So there's different ways to use the sleep tracks.
That's really cool. So it's just that 8 minute section as you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a huge upgrade here. That's really cool. So this is, is there a free version of Mind Tracks and then a paid version? Like, what's it look like?
Yeah, the thing to do is go to mindtracks.com, mindtrx.com, and sign up for a free trial. It's a 3-day free trial, and there's no automatic charge for it. So you get to play with it for 3 days, and you can see if this is something that you really want to bring into your life. You can go to the app stores and do it too, but then they'll automatically charge you after 3 days. You go through MindTracks, we won't automatically charge you. And then if you do decide that you want to do it, you can do it $12 a month or $99 a year. Great price. Mm-hmm. And that way you have access to everything all the time.
And you guys are constantly adding more stuff to it over time.
Yeah. Like, yep. Cool. Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Learning strategies from, you know, cassette tapes and floppy disks to AI and, you know, apps and you name it. It's what a crazy world. What a crazy transformation.
And, you know, it is a crazy world. And that's one of the reasons that you need something like what we're doing, because it helps you make sense of the world. It helps you make sense of your world, helps you bring yourself into a calm inner world and to create what it is that you want for your life. Yeah. And it's not about accepting life as it's being dished out to you, or it's not about putting up with the obstacles. It's how do you move through the obstacles, and how do you actually create that life that you want? That's what we've been working at all of our lives. It's to help folks maximize their potential. And we keep bringing out these new programs to make it easier and easier to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Pete. Well, hey, thanks, man. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for telling me, you know, about your childhood, your ghost friends when you were four, and your, you know, how you.
Yeah, you asked.
No, I love it. I'm so glad you dove in. That was so awesome. The stories you planned your whole life ahead. I didn't know any of that. That's so cool. Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Betcha. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.